Once again, people are being forced out of Seattle's Chinatown International District. More than a century ago, a wave of anti-Chinese violence hit the West Coast. Hundreds of Chinese workers were forced to leave the city. And then there was World War II, when thousands of Japanese Americans were taken away. And this time, there's a more subtle villain, the region's hot economy and housing market. David Hyde of KUOW's politics team has more.
Tang Fung Chin was evicted from her apartment in Seattle's International District back in 2015. But she didn't want to leave the neighborhood. She explained why through an interpreter.
Because of the language barrier, so this is like China for her. So that's why they don't have any choice.
Chin is originally from the southern part of the Guangdong province in China. She's now 70 years old and had been living at the old Republic Hotel that still stands on the corner of King and 8th Street. It's an old masonry building that was built back in 1910. And the rent was affordable, around $300 a month. But there was a problem.
They have to move because the condition is not livable.
The city's new rental inspection ordinance was signed into law in 2014 to protect renters. But in this case, the owner couldn't afford to fix it up.
And so opted to vacate the building and sold it to another developer who's going to renovate it as market rate housing.
Leslie Morishita is head of real estate development at Interim, an affordable housing group. She recognizes this kind of displacement is happening all over the city. According to Zillow, rental listing prices have jumped nearly 90% since 2011. But Morishita says the International District is unique.
It originally was built because of historic racial restrictive covenants. So this was the only place that immigrants from Asian countries were allowed to settle.
Morishita says along with schools and businesses, the community built informal networks that still tie it together today. And she worries that that's at risk. And that fear of community displacement is a big part of what's at stake at a public hearing that's scheduled for tomorrow on affordable housing in the International District. A zoning plan would let developers build up an extra 10 to 30 feet. And in exchange, they'd be required to make 7% of all their units affordable. Some community leaders, like Morishita, say that's not enough. Others, like Doris Koo with the Yesler Community Collaborative, say 7% is a lot better than nothing.
I'm a pragmatist. I've been a community organizer 45 years. I went from an idealist to a pragmatist because there are steady steps, incremental gains that you can get so that you don't have to get it all at one time.
Koo says if the city does not move forward with this plan, private developers will likely sue and the neighborhood will lose out on affordable housing once again. That debate in this community is mirrored in the Seattle mayor's race. Former U.S. Attorney Jenny Durkin is mostly positive about the city's affordable housing plans. On the opposite poll, activist and lawyer Nikita Oliver calls for developers to set aside 25% of all new construction for affordable units. Unlike a lot of residents, Tan Fung Chin's story ends somewhat happily. She managed to find new housing in the International District. And on the plus side, it's cheap. She pays around $300 a month. But Chin now shares a studio apartment with a roommate, which she describes as a little cramped. In Seattle, I'm David Hyde, KUOW News.
And the public hearing on the International District rezone is scheduled at Seattle City Hall tomorrow night at 6 o'clock.